This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We arrived to the section on the Qadr. And the Qadr is probably one of the most difficult concepts, not just in Islam, but in any religious tradition. Because the Qadr is dealing with the idea of predetermination. And if you look at the word predetermine, determine is to put limits on something. Day, terminus. Terminate is to end, and day is from ending or putting endings or limits on something. And so the idea of predetermining means that something, the limits were already set before the thing actually came about. And so there's a misconception in the minds of not just non-Muslims, but Muslims as well, about the nature of the Qadr, that the idea that things are predetermined. And one of the points that the authors bring out, which is very important, is that if that was the case, then the Qur'an would actually not make any sense, because the Qur'an is commanding you to do things. And if you have no ability to do anything, and I command you to do something, then my command is meaningless. So it would be then saying that the Qur'an is meaningless, and that is impossible for a revelation to be meaningless. Everything in a revelation is meaningful. So the idea that the divine decree or the qadr is predetermination is a dangerous one. On the other hand, you have to look at hadith that indicate certain things about the world that are also important to understand. And this is where you get into what some religious scholars in the West have called an antinomy, which is not really a paradox, but a paradox is when you have two things that are in a sense mutually exclusive, but they're both apparently real. And the idea of human beings free and predetermined at the same time seems like a paradox. An antinomy, on the other hand, is that something is true at one level, but at a higher level, a higher truth emerges. And so there's an idea that there can be a resolution of what is apparently paradoxical by moving to a higher level of understanding. So the idea that human beings, I think a good analogy of it in the modern world is the idea of light being both a wave and a photon. Because in modern physics, they have the idea that the quanta are particles of light. And there's an idea that on the one hand, it behaves like a wave, and they can watch its movement. On the other hand, it appears to have the qualities of quanta or intermittent particles of light, as opposed to being something that is unified. So that is an interesting, I think, analogy for the understanding of free will and determination. There's no doubt that human beings, certain things are determined with human beings. Your parents were determined for you, that you did not choose your parents, and now we have no recorded history of anybody replacing their biological parents. In other words, we don't have any testimony or any proof that anybody's ever been able to become somebody else. So that certainly was not determined. The country that you were born in, the time in which you find yourself, I mean, all of these circumstances that we found ourselves in, whether we were from rich families, whether we were from poor families, also intellectual abilities and gifts, artistic abilities and gifts. There are many, many qualities, athletic abilities. There are people that are more lithe than other people. There are more people that are more balanced, that are more flexible, that are quicker. When you were in school, there were those people that in the math classes that just, they would get the answers seemingly effortlessly, and other people would grapple with them. There were people that word problems were as clear as instructions on a Coke machine or something like that, where they could just see very clearly what type of problem it was and how to arrive at an answer. And then there's other people that couldn't see it for the life of them. They would struggle and struggle, and still it wouldn't get through. So all of those type of things that we find in the world, discrepancies, are very interesting. And Islam has a very interesting reason in why it presents that. The first thing, just to look at this idea of qadr, if we look at the root word, comes from qadara, and it has the idea of power. Qudra, which is the masdar, means power. The qadir is the one who's capable of doing something. They have the capacity to do something. It's one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a book by Crosby which is about Western dominance and how the Western world became dominant. And his thesis is that they mastered the art of measuring everything. And so one of the things about the ability to measure something is that if you can measure it, you have a certain type of power over that thing. And that's why somebody that's able to break down a machine, take it apart, and understand what all its constituents and components are, they're able to put it together. They have a power over it that somebody that does not know how to do that doesn't have. And so the idea that Allah has determined everything is the idea that Allah has power over everything. وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Because He created it and He determined it in that way. So in human beings, we are determined in our bodies. In other words, if you're 5'10 or if you're 5 feet, there was a point at which your cells stopped growing. There was a point that your skeletal structure stopped. Now that point did not occur for somebody who's taller than you. It went on. So there's a determination in the size of people as well. There's a determination in the size of the world that we're in. The universe itself has limits. Aqtar. I mean, the Quran says, "In istata'tum an tanfudhu min aqtari samawati wal ard." If you're able to penetrate the limits of the universe, then do it. So the universe itself has limits. So the one who puts limits on something has power over it because he was able to put those limits. And that's why a king is powerful, because he is able to constrain his populace, his kingdom. If he loses that capacity, he loses his power. And therefore, he's not a real king. And that's the difference between a government that has power and a government that doesn't. Is a government that has power has the ability to suppress and squelch resistance inside that government. So the idea of Allah being all-powerful is that He has absolute power in His creation. Now, in the Quran, one of the things that Allah says, مَا قَدُرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ They did not measure God, which is very interesting because it gives the idea that human beings are obsessed with measuring, and that's what geometry came out of, an attempt to measure. And in fact, we have Greeks and Egyptians over 2,500 years ago that were already measuring the circumference of the earth and coming within 500 miles of doing it. And they did that using some very simple geometrical calculations with shadows and measuring the pyramid at different times in a pole in Alexandria, and then looking at the distance between Alexandria and between what's now Cairo. And then basically a simple calculation. They basically measured the earth being close to 25,000 miles in its circumference. So humans have been interested in measuring. Now, if you look in the Enlightenment period, they began to measure air, gas. They began to measure Boyle's laws. All these things come out of a desire to measure. The more they came to understand the measurements of things, the more power they had over them. So if you look at a jet flight, they have to understand all the measurements. They have to understand what liquid fuel. I mean, isn't this the basis of engineering, is that you need to measure fully everything. So humans have this obsession with wanting to measure. And one of the things, the signs of the end of time, the Quran says, حَتَّى ظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا That the humans would actually think that they're completely powerful in relation to creation. They have qudra over it. And this is part of the idea of really knowing everything that's there. So this idea that we can, I mean, now they have sonar waves that they beam into the earth from space. And when the sonar waves come back, they're like the sonogram that they do in a fetus. They can actually tell where oil is, where gold is, where this is. And the harp stuff, what they're doing up in Alaska is similar to that. Measuring everything. So Allah puts this interesting ayah in there. They haven't measured God. That this is the one thing.
Because even they want to measure the universe. I mean, they actually can extrapolate out to try to understand actually how big the universe is. I mean, this is one of their goals. So the idea is that, yeah, you can measure everything. God's given you this qudra, and that's part of a divine attribute that manifests in the human being, is that humans have this extraordinary ability to reflect these qualities of God. And one of them is knowing the limits of everything, but God has no limits, and therefore God cannot be measured. And so this is the thing that thou. So the Quran uses the Qadr in 10 verses. And from this, there emerges a doctrine in Islam of the belief in the Qadr, although it's in the Hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said of the six objects of faith in the Hadith of Jibril, one of them is that we nu'minu bil qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi, and in a riwayah or a transmission, hulwihi wa murrihi, we believe in the divine decree or the measuring out, it's good and it's bad, or it's good and it's evil, and we're going to talk about that. He goes in, she goes into that quite a lot of detail, and it's important. There's khayr and shar, and it's sweet and bitter. So life is sweet and bitter. And it's important, I think the riwayah that mentions sweet and bitter is important because there's a way to look at khayr and shar. Of the believer doesn't see it as evil because no evil can afflict a believer. A believer sees it as bitter, that there's things in life that are bitter, but there aren't things for him or her that are evil, shar. Because the believer, everything that happens to somebody who believes in God and believes that God is ultimately the one who is creating these circumstances that we find ourselves in and these tribulations, then we begin to see it as a test, as something that we need to bear. That has to do with the idea of swallowing a bitter pill. I mean, we say that in colloquial English. I had to swallow a bitter pill, or it has a bad taste. Medicine's often bitter. In Chinese medicine, the heart herbs, the herbs that are good for the heart, one of the qualities in Chinese medicine is that they're always bitter, which is very interesting. So the next thing in this section that he brings out about is the idea of the servant, an abd. The word abd has many meanings. At one level, it means a creature. In other words, it's something that's subservient to God by its very nature. So if you make something, it is automatically in a subordinate position by the fact that you have made it. It is subordinated to you, and it can't free itself from that condition. So the idea of an abd is the verse in the Quran 1993, is that everything in the heaven and the earth comes to Allah, ar-Rahman, as a abd, abdan. It comes as a servant.